Right.
And there's your weather change. It's
going to happen.
Well, a fire can skip across a river like this pretty darn easy. Well, it did the Columbia River this year, 2 miles. And they gave Oregon State $500,000 to study embers. Seriously.
Study embers?
Yep. Wow. That's $500,000. How far can an ember go? They found it wasn't the wind, it was the size of the branch that burned. So for $500,000...
Determine the obvious.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anybody that worked in the woods could have told you without it.
Right.
Well, a lot cheaper than $500,000.
Anybody who's ever built a campfire.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're doing on Mural. That's the big deal, is that they're using up timber ground, but what they're actually doing is going out and spending millions of dollars to tag them out at the sea to see if they can track them down to see where they nest.
Huh.
But a bird that flies 60 miles an hour can pretty much nest where it wants to.
Right. You can fly drones out there.
We're proposing that with the kids. Because of insurance reasons and cost reasons, and because of people not being familiar with the woods and that, if we can get high school kids to do inventories or cruises with drones, they love flying drones, they get digital and video off it, they get all kinds of good information that 10 or 15 years ago was impossible.
Yep.
And kids walking along a creek now, it's almost impossible. I got no background in it. And they don't study it in school. That's what is the difficult part. Unless you take forestry or fish and wildlife, it's not there in the curriculum. Greg, can you put this in that side pocket?
Sure.
Drive along and I'll go through some
for no reason.
Yep, and all of a sudden I'll start itching, my eyes will run, I'll be sneezing, and then go another 5 miles and it's over. I keep thinking I never get colds or flu, and I keep thinking about the time I'm getting one, it's the same thing. It's an allergy.
It is.
And it goes away, and then I realize, well, if it's a cold or a flu, it wouldn't go away when I move.
So. Must be your allergies keep you from getting the flu then.
Something.
Well,
yeah. I always get things like cancer, catastrophic fever, all that. That was a joke to my family. I don't mess around with secondary. Don't get colds or flu. It's not life threatening. I don't need to deal with it.
I'm sure that's a good thing.
Still breathing air, so.
Amber, I have sunk so low. I am going to go to a program on the 15th of December.
Yeah.
At our art museum. It's called Birds of the Elliot.
That's sinking low, huh?
You should know them all. Personally. I think I saw an ad for that.
Did you?
Birds of the Elliot.
Yeah.
That's a true story.
Oh, yeah, it is.
Is it true you're going?
I think I am going to.
Uh-huh.
Well, I know that's the area. My knowledge is pretty weak.
Uh-huh.
So I thought, I might learn something there.
30 years ago, it would have been birds of the South Coast.
That's right.
Right. Yeah.
I gave a presentation on murelets to a congressional committee here in 1993 or 94 when they had the Congress here at Coos Bay. Didn't do any good. That's why I just showed up just at 9. There's a stop here where they're clearing trees, one back behind us where bridge work had two speed traps.
Oh, yeah.
Wonderful.
Usually I drive back and forth and drive any speed I want, whatever the highway can handle, and pay no attention, but today they had packed with cops. Last time through, they had a cop too.
On our way in yesterday, there was a turned over semi.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Now it looks pretty bad. It wiped out a good portion of its guardrail.
Wow. Where was that at?
Really sharp corner.
Really, yeah, the really sharp corner.
It's super sharp.
Oh, that's where they were probably repairing it today then.
They didn't know if the driver was okay or not.
There was a lot of vehicles with flashing lights.
It looked like they're trying to, when we drove by, they're trying to get them out. We couldn't see, but they had, you know, the medical staff and firefighters there and all that.
What time did you come through?
3 o'clock? 2:30?
2:30.
You
came through?
A.M.?
P.M.
Oh, okay. Afternoon. I came through this morning.
No, they wouldn't pay us to get better.
I used to always ride right to the no traffic or cops.
Were there any vehicles in the corner yet on the highway?
Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't just go in the corner too fast, we have to go in the rail and hit somebody.
Yeah.
No, he went off the rail and he didn't hit anybody. I didn't notice any other vehicles he ran into.
Most possibly just went in the corner too fast.
Yeah, that's what it looked like, because it was right just after the corner started on the right side. And the way the truck was sitting in the ditch, you couldn't see it very well, but it looks like he just flipped it.
Flipped for a while.
It'd be a bad corner to have a load shift on.
He may have just toppled over.
Well, that must have been the other, what they were doing today then. And this.
That's what it looked like, baby.
Yeah. Right, because they're all over there working.
Well, we're almost done with our third trip, and everything has gone according to plan. That's a little bit scary.
How can that be?
I don't know.
Oh,
gotcha. So where's the stock room come from?
Yep.
I don't know.
You think the county would jump on that?
Yeah, thank you.
Wow.
This is a corporation and throw gallon breaker.
When they put the prison in, they put a water line up the hill and they brought the rock in to stand. The next spring, the guy from the county was out trying to find out where the rock went. It's in that forest.
Ooh.
Oh, wonderful.
It's on the Olympic Peninsula, outside of, what do you call it, the initials, Fort Angeles, PA. I had a peak up above there, and some local Indian fans that were up there goofing around. And ran into a tourist, there was a lady there, and she was like taking pictures of Stockville in full bloom. Asked if anybody knew what it was, but she'd been seeing it since Wyoming, and she just loved it. I thought it was a noxious sweet. She's kind of disappointed.
And a couple of years ago, I treated her. I couldn't see anything but yellow flowers. It was just a stem of yellow flowers.
Yeah.
They sprayed a little extra.
Yeah.
Just like dandelions, same thing.
Do you have digitalis here?
Yeah, box though.
Yeah. That used to come in on some of the plantations, just like cover the whole thing.
I must have that being a native plant.
I don't think so. I think they brought it in for medicinal purposes.
Well, that's one of the results.
It's been around as long as I have.
Yeah.
Isn't that poison?
Yeah.
You can't eat it.
I think there's a native variety of it, but I'm not sure.
Huh. I think it's been always been my understanding that it was introduced, yeah. Like dandelions.
Huh. Now they say the way the Europeans deal with that, they call dandelions wildflowers. Huh. So if you have a whole yard, well, you have a whole yard of wildflowers.
salads.
Well, they grow them in gardens for the greens.
And salads.
Yeah, and dandelion wine.
masculine do not taste good.
So you're saying dandelions can drive you crazy?
I made dandelion wine once. It took 8 hours to cut, and we'll pick them, and then you trim off the white part. Yeah. Beautiful, but it tasted like perfume. Astringent. It smelled nice.
Huh?
I switched over to marigold wine. We're picking up enough blossoms off marigolds in about a half hour. A lot less labor intensive. Roger, you grew up in Hauser, and then and your folks have got a really old myrtle there. Was it part of a grove?
No, it's just something planted. There are a lot of myrtles in that area.
Yeah, that's why it's curious. There would have been a lot of Indians in that area. At the head of Tidewater there, and then the Finger Lakes, I think, connecting them to Ten Mile and to here.
I suspect it's one of the Europeans, probably.
Uh-huh. They had a big deal in the 1930s, saved the myrtle one. So
they did.
What was threatening at that point?
That, loggers and myrtlewood people.
And that was the group that bought about 20 acres of myrtlewood grove on the South Fork of Coos River.
Is that the Jackson? No, that's on Coquille River.
I've never heard that name for it.
Yeah.
And they also bought 160 acres on the Windshot.
Uh-huh.
No, on the Chestro.
Uh-huh.
On the Chestro.
From the state?
No, bought it from private parties.
Uh-huh.
From private owners.
Yeah.
With that as an objection, trying to save groves of myrtle.
Yeah.
So when we started working in 1955, that was part of our inventory of land owned by the Board of Forestry.
Uh-huh.
Which meant that we were tied in with the Curry County Board of Commissioners.
Uh-huh.
Well, the first thing we noticed was that where the river grove was the flat ground between the county road and the river. And it was, you know, a flat ground with a major stand of myrtle.
Yeah.
And then it seemed like what you do is turn that into a park.
Yeah.
But then across the river were slopes with kind of residual stand of old growth fir.
Uh-huh.
So the executive decision was to log the old growth fir with the income going money made to the Curry County Board of Commissioners, and to deed all the myrtle flat to state parks.
Uh-huh.
But today it is, in fact, Loeb Park. L-O-E-V. And it's the overflow from the state park on 101. And it's kind of nice. A little ways up there, but it's kind of nice.
There's three or four or five myrtle grove parks around.
That's the two that I know of were uh-huh. bought by the state of myrtle people.
Uh-huh.
That we got from them.
And that's what they were doing. I think they did turn it over to the state for management. They were going around buying the last groves because so many of them have been eliminated.
Uh-huh.
But where you got the flat and you got the river and you got the myrtle, That, you got everything but an Indian campground sign up.
And good, and good access.
Yep. By water or by land. There's a local historical book. I can't remember the exact name, but it's something like Pigs of Tioga. Have you heard of that?
I have a copy. It's
okay.
Called Tioga's Pigs. Tioga's
Pig. Tioga Pig, that's what it is. Yeah.
It is based on the fact that Myrtle Woods bear edible nuts.
Yep.
And hogs like them.
Yeah.
This guy had a herd of hogs, and he kind of moved them around.
Yep.
Up as far as Tioga and down into Coquille.
That was before the Save the Myrtle Woods people. They went from pig food to basically buying furniture, and then they had most of them logged out for that reason, I think, by the time the Save the Myrtlewood group got together.
Now I see that the Myrtlewood Company in Coos Bay is being sold.
The big one there right on the way?
Yep.
What's the reason they're selling it?
Oh, what did it say? Well, okay, it's owned by the, it's a, like Salvation Army. It's a, kind of a employment group that tries to help people get jobs.
Yeah.
And they use it to help some people find jobs making Myrtlewood. Options.
Uh-huh.
And it's like they no longer fit their company profile, so it's on.
Uh-huh. That was a pretty big concern for a lot of years.
Yeah. They sold Myrtlewood and fudge.
Ah.
Odd mixture.
Yeah.
That was their stock.
Redwoods are the same way. You go down to the Redwood country and they sell burls and fudge. The giant Paul Bunyan in front, that's one of their famous things. Is their fudge.
I didn't know that.
So which one are they using to suck you into the other?
I think anybody with a dollar. They got everything in there. They got one of the finest Indian museums I've seen anywhere.
If you like fudge, you get to look at the wood. If you like wood, you get to look at the fudge.
I think this is what we were looking down into.
This is 10 miles. Okay.
So, this is the water system from Reedsport.
Oh, Clear Lake.
Clear Lake. Oh, okay.
They have a siphon that goes through the ridge to supply Reedsport water.
Okay, then you were right. It's Clear Lake.
Was this the one we could see from up at the lookout?
No, that was Winchester Bay.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was wrong. That didn't last long. You were in the car when we were debating what it was.
Okay.
Winchester Bay was one of the options.
Yeah, it was one of the options.
It's got an Indian name to it that's known. Like friend Patty Wehrat. That's one of her missions, is to get the name of Clear Lake, if she could figure out a way to get the Indian name, because it's fairly easy to spell and pronounce, and it's got historical significance, and Clear Lake is like Big Trick.
Right, yeah.
It's about 20 or 30 of them.
Yeah.
Sandy.
Yeah. Or Deer Creek or Bear Creek.
Right.
Bear Creek.
There's 126 Bear Creeks.
I never heard that.
There's a water resources book that has the most common.
Oh.
Creek.
Oh, we have Squaw Butte, Squaw Creek, Squaw Ridge.
Those are all going away.
All because of the Mohawks.
Yep.
The Indians, Oregon didn't care about that, but the Mohawks did.
Well, when we were kids, the name Squaw was just like wife or
girl.
Or girl, yeah.
Girl.
Well, usually the girl was a princess and her mom was a squaw. But it wasn't a disparaging term.
No.
I'm not sure how I follow that logic.
Queen Princess, I understand. Small Princess, I understand.
Well, I said you could talk louder, I guess.
Well, a lot of the Calcrics are descended from Mohawks and Iroquois. They're not descended from Calcric Indians.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's why they all got French names. They moved in the area in the 1850s and 60s.
Well, I asked Don Ivy, I said, why do so many Coquille Indians have Spanish surnames?
Yeah.
He said, a lot of our Indian girls went down to Medford and married all these Mexican men down there. So they have all these Hispanic last names.
When I was working with the tribe, the guy I was working with was Mexican, but most of them have more Indian blood than our Indians.
And most of them don't have hardly any. They have maybe 1/32nd.
Or 16, yeah.
I like to write small books, and one was my family history on my dad's side.
Uh-huh.
And it's kind of fun. I spent some time on it. I really enjoyed doing it. When I got through the whole book, I said, okay, now, folks, after going through 9 generations, I have to recognize that I am only 1% Phillips.
Uh-huh.
With 9 generations of women that have married into the family, I'm 1% Phillips.
Huh.
But I have followed that way because of the name. That's the only name I have,
yeah.
And so there it is. But I couldn't figure out how to write an ancestry book and include 9 generations in the book. Because you had to do that. So, it is what it is.
How many books have you written?
5.
Oh, wow. So you got the ancestry of your dad, you got the history of the Elliot.
Mm-hmm. And one of my Danish grandparents, that's my mother's family. Putting words together, and I like history, so it's kind of a natural fit. I think I'm all through.
You don't think you're going to write any more books?
I don't think so.
Uh-huh.
No.
So you got your mom's history, your dad's history, the Elliot history. What are the other two?
One is my mother's parents and her family.
Yeah.
They all came here from Denmark. I'm missing one somewhere there.
I got 2 genealogies and the Elliott history.
One's on me, and one is on my wife.
Oh, okay.
And then my mother's parents.
Yeah.
And then the whole family.
Uh-huh. So you're in the personal history as well.
I did.
Autobiography.
Yep. Yep.
Well, instead of or in combination with the interview regarding your personal history, it seemed like, are you willing to have that put online along with your book?
Oh, I'd look at it again and see.
Uh-huh.
Probably so. There's nothing in there that I feel bad about.
Uh-huh. Well, it adds a lot of context. When somebody's writing the history, if you know what their history is, then you know a lot of what their bias
is. That's true.
So,
and we've all got them.
Yeah. That's what's been different about this, Roger. I've been reading Jerry's book and read the Gould family book. And take sentence notes and then go out and ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
But for most, usually,
most people are like you or me. We don't have that. You're finding out new stuff right from the beginning rather than...
You can find something out on me online, it's probably stolen identity.
Uh-huh. You don't go online very much?
Well, nothing has ever been written about me online. Uh-huh.
I know a lot of folks say, well, they would never write anything like that because nobody would care.
Yeah.
That may be true, but I cared.
Yeah. and it's surprising that those types of things, people do care, but you don't know who they are or how many they are. They might be a descendant looking for family history. They might be a historian looking through county history. They just might be nosy, you know, just... there's a lot of people that like to read biographies and local histories just because they're generally curious about it. So there's not much of a market. You never make the bestsellers list.
No.
But you do something that you and Lionel and Rickard and create that you can't find out any other way. Anybody that wants to know about the Elliott that doesn't read those books doesn't know anything about its history, basically. There's no way they could know. But if they read those books, then they probably know more than they want to know. Roger, we passed 10 Mile back there a little bit. Do you know anybody that's ever fished in there or fished the creek?
I think I used to have an outfit. Uh-huh. Someone goes in the lake, so.
One of the largest coho runs in history. I mean, it used to be huge, but now it's all been...
It has had a lot of steelhead.
Yeah. And eels. Now it's got bass and bluegills.
This year they got their first eel count back in the lake. So, 10-mile watershed, 10-mile basin partnership.
Wow.
Would have some good information on that.
They had a good report they put out about 10 years ago, and then I followed up on it a little bit, went to 10 Mile and talked to some people, and then they've never got back in touch. So there's an eel history this year, or eel assessment. Wow. Definitely follow up on that. If I had my notebook, I'd write it down.
We try to research what is knowable about your family back X number of generations.
Yeah.
You do find some very interesting things.
Yeah.
And that's what I was trying to do, just to search out just interesting things that have happened in my family's history.
Yeah.
You can't know very many of them, but you know a few.
Yeah. That's the difference between a family historian and a genealogist. A genealogist wants to know whether 132nd this or that, and they want to know their pedigree, but a family historian wants to know the interesting things.
Yeah, I want to know where they live.
Yeah, what they ate.
Why they did what they did.
Yeah.
What were some of the major things in their lives? One kinfolk back there in 1790, whatever it was, and his name was Solomon Phillips, and here came the Revolutionary War, and they were living in Maryland. Growing tobacco. That was the main crop everybody was growing here, was tobacco.
So they had to have slaves.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
They had 9 slaves, and we know what their names were. There's a whole list of them. We know what their dollar, well, not dollar, but their pound value was. Because there it is written down.
Wow. I'm guessing in 1790 that the young women slaves were worth maybe $600 or $700.
They were worth in English pounds. On the English,
I followed the prices of slaves pretty closely up until Civil War, and it was pretty impressive how much they cost. But you had to have them for hemp or tobacco or cotton. There's no way to be a farmer without slaves.
Here, when they died, here was the property value list.
Yep.
What was their number one item of value, his brothers?
For the slave?
The most valuable thing that the landowners...
Oh, probably the slaves were the most valuable.
They
had nine of them.
It was.
Because young guys that were obedient were like $1,000, $1,200 when the market got up there. That was enough to buy a farm.
As an object, it was their feather bed.
Their what?
Their feather bed.
Oh.
That was the most valuable thing they owned.
Wow.
So, okay, here it is. You will that to the old, of course, to the oldest son.
Yeah.
But besides that, they were poor. They had a barrel of rusty nails.
Yeah.
And three or four horseshoes and a couple of three hogs. They were physically poor. They had a little land.
But they owned nine slaves. So they had to be pretty wealthy to do that.
When they became 31 years old, they were given their freedom. That was the law in Maryland. Age 31, now they're free.
Wow.
So what they do was stayed right there. That was their home. They knew how to get along there. They probably kept on working. They might have been paid. They might not have been paid, but there they were. And then they adopted the family name.
Yep.
They became Phillipses.
Ah.
So it's just interesting to read about that stuff.
Yep.
Here's little Susie. Little Susie's only 5 years old. She's worth quite a bit. She has about 26 years to serve yet.
And they put them to work when they're 4 or 5 years old.
Huh?
Yeah. Wow. We just passed your home there, Roger. So, who lived there before your folks? If your folks...
Somewhere in the middle it got sold. Grandparents owned it at one point.
So you're third generation.
Yeah, and then it got sold and then Dad bought it back.
Uh-huh. And it's always been in Houser?
Yeah, it's east of Houser by the mile.
Wow. When did your grandparents move in there?
I don't.
You're not a family historian.
I'm not a family historian.
Those are Jerry questions.
Well, it doesn't matter at all. It's just if you're curious or you aren't. It doesn't matter a tick.
But like you say, it's interesting. It gives context. You understand a lot more about people and a lot more about the land and how they interrelated. That's just stuff that's interesting.
I want to know why they left Denmark. So why would you leave? Today the Danes are considered the happiest people in the world.
Yeah.
Why would you leave? Oh, well, conditions were a lot different in those days.
Yeah.
In 1890, it was a different place.
Was it 1790 or 1890?
1890.
Oh, the slave owners were not the Denmark people.
No, that's right.
Okay.
Different folks.
Yeah. Well, my grandfather came over from Switzerland about 1905. There was a lot of migration from Europe.
There was.
And I think it was the money markets at the time. There was an international depression, financial problems. I think there wasn't very many opportunities in a lot of European areas, especially for young guys.
North Bend's, I'm sure if they're middle school or high school, just went through an interesting exercise where they had kids act out arriving at Ellis Island.
Huh.
And be assigned different roles. So, some were doctors and giving medical inspections to people. Some were old, they're quite old. Some were experienced in farming or whatever it was. Some had nothing going for them. They had to have someone to vouch for them financially.
Uh-huh.
You couldn't just show up and say, "Oh, here I am." You had to have someone to say they would back you up financially for, I don't know, a year or whatever it was. And then some of you are going to get rejected, sent back to Europe. So it's an interesting exercise.
Huh. I didn't know that they returned people from there.
They did. Uh-huh. Yeah, if grandma was sick, if she had TB, back she went.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So then, the Batman, probably more than Batman, would go with her.
It was interesting and learned a lot.
It was an interesting trip.
Good.
You know, there's still a cold wind blowing into these mountains.
Yep.
That's a pattern for sunny days and sunny years.
East winds?
East winds.
Don't keep the clouds out. Yep. No,
we learn even though the roads are in pretty good shape, there's still a few mud holes out there.
Yeah. And we're still debating whether the fur are invasive or the understory.
You develop a reason, whichever you choose.
Yep, yep.
There's still geologists that argue about whether Black Butte is younger or older than the Cascades. So.
Thank you for saying that.
They always will.
Yeah.
Later this study determined that cows like water versus salt when it's hot out.
Black Butte and Three Finger Jack are supposed to be the same formations. One's on the west side and gets rain, and the other's it's like that nice mountain because it doesn't.
Yeah, but Black Butte's outside the line of the Cascade Range.
Sure is.
No, yeah. They can't figure out why.
They drew the volume in correctly.